Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the next installment of the Period Party. Really excited to be here this evening. I am here with Nat.
Hi, Nat.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. And we're also here with Amy Medling. She is the founder of PCOSDiva.com. And we're excited to have her because we're going to be sharing a whole lot on PCOS on the show tonight. So, hi, Amy. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you for being here. So for everyone who's listening in and who's on the show right now, basically we're going to be talking about PCOS, its causes and potential solutions. And we're going to talk a little bit about Amy's story, how she was diagnosed and what she's done to get her PCOS symptoms under control. So why don't we start with that? Amy, I'd love to know a little bit about your story and how you were diagnosed with PCOS and what you've been able to do for it.
Yeah, sure. So PCOS, for those that haven't heard the acronym before, it stands for Polycystic Ovarian Syndrome, and it is one of the most common endocrine disorders in women. The statistics that are often tossed around is 10% of all women have PCOS, but I've been recently seeing experts citing 30% of women have symptoms of PCOS, so it may be higher than that. And the real alarming statistics to me is that 50, and I'm even seeing 70% of women with PCOS do not have a diagnosis. So they're walking around with PCOS and they're undiagnosed. I'm just so thrilled to be here and to be kind of creating more awareness for PCOS. And boy, I sure wish that I and doctors had more awareness and knowledge of PCOS when I was young. I'm 43, and like most women that I talk to, symptoms and signs of PCOS start to appear around puberty. So when I was in my early teens, my periods were irregular. I started to gain weight. By age 18, my hair was falling out, and doctors said that it was due to stress, probably because, senior year in high school, dealing with that kind of stress. But I always knew I wasn't really getting the right diagnosis. During college, I had a really hard time losing weight. I started dealing with excess hair growth, where you don't want it, on my face or hirsutism. I was really fatigued. I needed a lot of naps. I was addicted to sugar. And really the only thing that I was hearing at the doctor's office was that lose weight, and it's just probably going to be hard for you to have kids one day. And I actually never received a PCOS diagnosis until I was 30, after I had been to numerous OBGYNs and even endocrinologists over the years. And I don't know if you've talked about this on Period Party, but it was when I started charting my cycles through NAPRO technology that the nurse that was kind of my mentor with NAPRO and the Crichton model of natural family planning, she was the one that suggested that I had PCOS. So it was kind of a long journey to actually get a diagnosis and to really begin healing my body. So I don't know, are you familiar with the Crichton model?
Yes. I am. I mean, I don't know tons about it, but I'm familiar with it. Nat, are you?
Yes, same. I don't know heaps about it, but I am familiar with it.
Yeah, so it was really helpful. I just think it's so important for women to become empowered and understand what's going on with their cycle. So I love the work that you're both doing to kind of spread the awareness about being empowered about your own periods.
Definitely.
Yeah, and then after I got the diagnosis, I was suffering from some secondary infertility. I was able to get pregnant with around a Clomid with my first son, but the second I had a really hard time and went through infertility treatments. And I was put on metformin, which is a common pharmaceutical for PCOS, and it often causes a lot of GI distress, and that's what I had experienced. And I, after I had my, did conceive and got pregnant and had my second child, decided I would never go on metformin again. I didn't, was done with the pill. I didn't like the way that it made me feel. So I decided that I was going to look for another way to manage what was going to be a lifelong diagnosis, PCOS. And after, you know, lots of trial and error and talking to various experts in different fields, I was kind of able to figure out a protocol that really helped me heal my body. So much so that at age 37, I became pregnant again naturally without any type of fertility treatment after doctors told me I'd never get pregnant again. So, wow. And now I'm really sharing what I've learned along the way with women with PCOS on PCOS Diva.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I think that's such an amazing story, and for you to be able to share that with other women, because we are told that, you know, so many of my patients are told that they won't be able to have children. So first of all, that belief is already running in the back of their mind, which is something that they have to overcome. But also that, you know, no matter what the situation or the circumstances, we can always move our body towards a healthier state. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it varies for everyone whether you can completely move past a condition or whether you're going to, it's still going to be there running in the background, but the symptoms aren't as severe. But I think, you know, to be able to demonstrate the power of being able to, you know, implement different strategies, look at your lifestyle, look at your diet, watch your menstrual cycle, find the information out that your body's giving you is extremely empowering for a lot of women.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's really becomes a journey of kind of self-discovery, I think, and figuring out what works best for you, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reality is we are all different. You know, we all live a different lifestyle. We all live in a different house. You know, we all have different environments. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that will influence the way that our body works, and I think until, you know, we can move away from this whole one-size-fits-all approach, which can be, you know, useless for some people or many people, then we can actually start to make a difference, which is, I'm sure, very much what you're trying to share that message as well. You're living proof of that.
Mm. I love that. Yeah, I was going to say what you were saying, Amy, about the, you know, just about self-discovery. I think that is probably one of the most important things that happens for women on these kinds of journeys, but they don't actually realize that at the very beginning because there's a lot of, why is this happening to me? And everyone else is getting pregnant or nobody else has period problems. And so there's a lot of that happening, I think, initially. But then I feel like it just opens so many doors and potential opportunities. I mean, for me, I started a business around this because I really struggled when I was younger, and so did you. And I feel like if these things hadn't happened, life would look drastically different. And so I've found that with my clients, and I know Nat has as well, and maybe you feel the same, that women are so inspired when they start to understand their bodies that they're then able to turn it into a business or some kind of organization or something, some kind of movement.
I think that part of that journey for me, you know, if I look back, you know, what was the big breakthrough for me in terms of my struggle with PCOS. And I can say that things absolutely began to shift for me, and I think this, I see this in so many women, is when you begin to love yourself in the moment, you know, not when you get pregnant, not when you lose 10 pounds, your skin clears up. It's really, really learning to love and be that authentic self, and listening to your intuition and learning to hear what your body's telling you. And I know that learning to be able to put myself first and take extreme self-care. I think that's one of the, my husband actually had made the comment when I really started taking my care of myself and advocating for what I need. He said, gosh, Amy, you're really becoming a diva. And I thought, you know what, you're absolutely right. And that's kind of how the whole concept of PCOS diva came, was from that comment. And I think that from that place of, and in my mantra, I often talk about this with my community, my mantra is I am enough. And I think from that place of enoughness and deep acceptance, I was able to make really lasting healing and sustainable lifestyle change. I was able to make positive choices for myself based on this loving vision rather than staying stuck in the past or this whole cycle of diet, deprivation, and denial. So for me, really healing myself came down to loving myself enough that I wanted to make good choices in terms of my diet, my exercise, my self-care, my positive thinking. So that was just a real paradigm shift for me.
And I think it's a hard thing for lots of women to get their head around initially. I'd love to know, you know, for those women that are listening today that perhaps are in that position of looking at themselves going, how do I love myself? How do I get past that? I know it's a big question, but I guess if we could offer our listeners like a, you know, a little nugget of advice in terms of, you know, it's easy when you start to see evidence that something's making a change, but to actually inspire people to make that change, I think that's the hardest part. Is there anything that, you know, you say to your tribe that you've found to be, I don't know, I guess a bit of a game changer in terms of switching that mindset?
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially for women with PCOS, you know, we're told to lose weight. We're told to go on these, like, crazy low-carb, no-carb diets. And there's so much focus, I think, on food and dieting, and again, that I call it the three Ds, diet, deprivation, and denial. And I think a big game changer is that when I tell women that, you know, you really can, if you think about what you eat, you can have anything you want, anytime that you want it, but you have to live moment to moment and say, you know, I choose not to have this in this moment, even though I can have it any other time. So say like Ben and Jerry's ice cream, I choose not to have this in this moment. I think that that's really empowering because you're not saying I can never have it again. And then to take that one step further, I really encourage women to get in touch with how food is making them feel. And I think it's really easy when you ask women with PCOS to go on to start eating anti-inflammatory foods, removing the gluten, the dairy, caffeine, you know, after a little bit of a detox period, these women start to really feel good. They discover what feeling good feels like. And that's, I think that that's the real key, and they can see how they can use food to manipulate how they feel in their body, but also the emotions that they're feeling. I think a lot of women, when they remove gluten, when they add it back in, they can kind of feel irritability or a sense of depression, that sort of sense of brain fog. So when you start to really get in touch with how food is making you feel, you can make these empowered choices based on loving yourself enough that you want to feel good and live this, you know, vibrant life that you can thrive. For so many women, that becomes such a game changer. So learning how to feel good by manipulating the food that you eat, I think, is huge.
I think that's massive. I mean, you know, you were saying, I think that, you know, I think for all of us, we are huge advocates of women having a very clear understanding of what's going on in their bodies because they can make these really informed decisions. And for me, in the very beginning, learning that certain foods made me feel really bad, that was impetus to take them out of my diet. And I think that's where you have to start with a lot of people because cake is always going to taste good. There's no doubt about it. But it's just a matter of how is it going to make you feel? And, you know, and making this concerted effort to take these things out that make you, that really mess with your hormones and ultimately your emotions. And then, of course, your physical health as well, because there are so many physical symptoms with PCOS.
I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think, you know, the other thing. Sorry, go.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that another one other thing that I was just going to say is
there's like a wonderful delay here. Go ahead, Amy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that I think it's also really important that women, again, don't deny themselves these pleasurable foods. You can often find something that will work for you with some, you know, a bit of experimentation, so that you can still have an indulgence. And I once saw this quote that an indulgence is an opportunity to experience pure pleasure. And I love that concept. And I think part of self-care is part of, is, you know, giving yourself those pleasures. And if you really love cake, maybe you can have a, like 3 bites of cake and feel really satisfied, 3 really mindful, decadent, delicious bites. And still feel satisfied as well. So I think allowing yourself for very mindful indulgences is really important as well.
Yes, I agree. Because, you know, the mind's very powerful too. The more you tell yourself you can't have something, the more you're going to want to have it.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Like you said, that whole...
Yeah.
Well, that whole, you know, then it's that whole mindset. But I want to ask Amy... You know, I have so many people say to me, I actually get challenged on this a lot. How dare I suggest that changing diet and lifestyle, mindset, attitude, environment is enough to help a condition? You know, I feel like we're living at a time where we want there to be some magic bullet that's going to save us from our hormone imbalance. And I'd love to hear what you might say, you know, to people that at least, you know, they haven't heard enough information to know that that might be a possibility.
And I think what the story that you're hearing from conventional medicine around PCOS, you know, typically a woman will go to your doctor's office and be given the diagnosis for PCOS, and she's also given the prescription for the birth control pill to help regulate hormones, a prescription for metformin, we were talking about earlier, and, you know, perhaps spironolactone, which is like an anti-androgen, and then sent on her way. And I think you're kind of led to believe that these are your magic pills, that they're going to take magically sort of take care of it all. And in a lot of cases, they... certainly with the birth control pill, I think it can exacerbate a lot of the issues with PCOS, certainly insulin resistance. And I talk a lot about this on my site. I'm overall very anti-pill for PCOS as a therapy. But I do think that it's more than just diet. I mean, it has to be a several-pronged approach to managing your PCOS, and it's, you know, it's really a journey to try and figure out what works best for you, and I'm kind of constantly experimenting. But I do think that there's supplements play a very key role, exercise, and it has to be kind of the right type of exercise, because I'm a firm believer of kind of that chronic cardio or single exertion cardio can be really disruptive to PCOS. I think more of that high intensity interval training, yoga is very helpful. I've talked a lot about self care. I think self care is important in stress reductions. Stress really wreaks havoc on PCOS, and we have to be really careful about kind of managing our cortisol, so that's really important as well. And mindset, I think, is an important part too. So I think there's, you know, several of these areas that have to kind of all be approached kind of in a balanced way to successfully manage your PCOS.
I really, oh, Nat, did we lose you?
No, I just thought that maybe you'd be
oh,
sorry.
Oh, okay. I was concerned there for a moment. You never know.
That's what I was I really checking before I said anything, because I'm like, where did I go?
I know. Well, I didn't know if you were going to respond, so I thought then maybe something had happened. Oh, boy. Anyways, I was going to say that I really appreciate all of that because, you know, especially what you talked about with self-care and the lifestyle side of things, I think for many of us, that automatically goes by the wayside for so many women. And it's a matter of literally retraining yourself, and I can really appreciate that. And then, of course, the food side of things and really looking at, you know, how it all is impacting your physical health. And so many women, like we were saying, you know, like what you said, Nat, with the pill, the magic pill, and feeling like, you know, there's no way, or this is almost like a life sentence. It's constantly drilled into our heads, unfortunately, by the medical industry that is the case. And what you said, Amy, about how so many women have come to you, and even you have experienced this where, you know, you were told that this is what was going to happen to you and there was nothing that you could really do about it. I think we have to really work to reverse that, because I feel like so many women come to me in their late 20s and 30s saying that, you know, a doctor randomly told them something at maybe 18 or 19 or maybe even younger, something along the lines of, you know, you're going to have period problems, or you might not be able to get pregnant naturally, or whatever. And that's their story. And they carry that for a decade. And then they do end up having problems because that's what they've been holding on to for so long. And it just, you know, it's so important to start to think about how to reverse that, because it's a really not so great trend.
Not at all. Yeah. I think the other thing is, you know, taking responsibility and encouraging people to take responsibility for their health. And I'll always say to my patients, you know, your health starts with you. You know, you can't expect me to come along and you give you an overhaul. You have to do that yourself. I'm here, you know, the three of us, we're here to guide people and support them, but it's up to us individually, which can feel really daunting and scary and sometimes alone for a lot of people, which is why we need to create, you know, awareness to take that fear out. But that's, I think, you know, we really do need to step up and take responsibility and not be, you know, not be comfortable in leaving it up to someone else.
Yeah,
and I do agree that advocating and to empower women to kind of take back control and don't leave it to, you know, take everything your doctor says at face value. You know, it's kind of up to you to be your own advocate. But I do think that for many of us, when we're confronted with this chronic health condition like PCOS, we go through Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief, you know, the denial, the anger, the bargaining, the depression. And then, you know, hopefully we end up at acceptance. And I know I certainly went through all of those stages, but I'm so happy to say that I've worked my way through acceptance, and then even beyond, I think, to gratitude. You know, I can honestly say that for me, getting this PCOS diagnosis, you know, I'm really grateful for it, because it's really what it took for me to begin changing my life in ways that have made it so much more joyful and meaningful. It's really helped me to figure out what was out of balance in my life. It was kind of a wake-up call. My physical body sort of got out of whack, and I needed to figure out what was not working, you know, in my body and in my life. And I often think that we go through these challenges and healings in our bodies that mirror challenges and healings that are going on in our life. And I often share this quote, which I really love. It's by poet Rainer Maria Rilke. It goes, "Perhaps all the dragons in our lives are princesses who are only waiting to see us act just once with beauty and courage. Perhaps everything that frightens us is, in its deepest essence, something helpless that wants our love." And I don't know, that's how I sort of view my PCOS.
Mm. Oh, I love that so much. I think that's so beautiful. I feel like you so come full circle, and that's what everybody should aspire to.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's about gently being able to, you know, inspire and awaken. And even if it's just people are getting gentle nudges that might have PCOS to move outside what they're currently doing, you know, again, we're not saying that your doctor doesn't have your best interest at heart. I think they certainly do, but they're not always equipped with the knowledge that they need in these areas. You know, we place a lot of we put our hands in our doctor, our health in the hands of our doctors, and they definitely want what's best for us, but then that knowledge doesn't really extend outside there. So, you know, we're just always encouraging people, if this information does resonate or it does start to awaken something in you, it's time to look deeper and dig deeper and do your research and be inspired and look at other possibilities, because there's certainly not one way to do anything in life, especially, you know, when it comes to healing your body. You need to work out, like you said, Amy, what's right for you, and it's going to be trial and error, and they're going to be times where you're like, this is just, what am I doing? And then there's going to be other days where you're like, I'm amazing, you know, and that's just ebbs and flows, and that's perfect.
Mm. I think it's also really important to remember that that's the beauty of life. We don't actually know what's going to happen. And that's just, this is part of it. I mean, this is part of the journey, of your particular journey, and we've all got to take our own journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you see that thing I put on Facebook the other day when I was like, don't take life too seriously. It's not like you're going to get out alive.
Yes. Only you, Nat Kringudis.
I know, I laughed
at
that one.
Like, yeah,
you're so funny.
Yeah, you kill me.
I'm sorry.
No, it's hysterical. It's true. I know, it's really true. So, Amy, do you have, we have about 3 minutes left. Do you have any last parting words of wisdom for anyone who's been diagnosed with PCOS? And then, of course, you can share your website and your resources. That would be great, too.
Sure. Well, you know, I really want women that have been diagnosed with PCOS and those have been told that, you know, they'll never have children, you know, you have to create your own story. And there is a lot of hope, and I want women with PCOS to know that they no longer have to be a victim. They don't have to feel out of control, hopeless, or helpless. My approach, my programs are really grounded in hope and, again, empowering women to help themselves. I offer meal plans, and I have an online program called Jumpstart, which I run various times throughout the year. The next one starts June 1st. It's a 7-day program where I teach my PCOS Diva lifestyle. And I also have a line of supplements and smoothie powders to help women with PCOS in their journey. I also have some nice free resources. I have an app that's available on Apple and Android. It's PCOS Diva. And I also have a PCOS 101 guide, and you can find that on my site, PCOSDiva.com. It's a 32-page guide to help you with diagnosis and working with your doctor and, you know, the labs that you need to help to advocate for yourself. So please, you know, take advantage of those free resources.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. You have a wealth of resources. I was just listening to you rattle all of those off. That was really impressive. I love that you have an app. Brilliant.
I think she's done it before. Which is awesome, because that information needs to be put out there.
Seriously. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Amy. Thank you so much. Yeah, Amy, for being on here. It's been such a pleasure having you. Nat and I are honored to chat with you today.
Oh, gosh, it's been great to be with you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, thanks. All right, ladies, we're wrapping it up.
See you next, or not see you, speak to you next time.
Yes, next time. Thanks, ladies. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.